Welcome to the Embryo Adoption Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Mellinger. On this show, we explore the possibilities embryo adoption offers to families often struggling with infertility, though not always. Through insightful interviews and moving stories, we uncover the blessings of this unique path to parenthood. This podcast is brought to you by the National Embryo Donation Center, giving hope to those longing to grow their families. Now, let's get started. Beating cancer, leading on mentors. That's all part of the story of my guests today, John and Sarah Marlin, an NEDC couple. And John, let's start here. You have a great story of overcoming obstacles. Tell me what interrupted your life, when you were way ahead of becoming an adult that eventually did help cause your infertility.
Right. So when I was 12, I was diagnosed with leukemia. So with all that came a bone marrow transplant, radiation, chemo, just tons of meds, just, you know, everything that involves that. So from a very early age, I knew that fertility was probably going to be an issue for me. Around 18, I really figured that out with testing, was told, hey, pretty much no chance, you know, whatsoever. So that was something that I knew I would have to talk to my spouse about whenever I found a spouse, you know, because I know that's very important. So very soon in our dating relationship, Sarah knew that, you know, we'd have a journey ahead of us with kids. So.
And how did you process that? I'll start with you and then talk to both of you as a couple on that, John. But I mean, as a young man, it's hard enough to process having cancer when you're 12, 13 years old. That probably, I'm guessing, was not the first thing you thought about back then. You're thinking, I just want to beat cancer. I mean, that whole experience shapes you at a young age.
Yeah. So, I mean, 12 years old, that's never, you probably don't even know what that is at that point, or hopefully you don't. But I don't know, I guess it maybe is a guy thing that I didn't really give it much thought. I just thought I'd have kids one day somehow, and I never really thought much of it after that. So
well, you always thought about adoption.
I always thought adoption was probably going to be my way of, you know, having kids.
Yeah.
And so it turns out that was right. Probably just not the sort of adoption that you were thinking about. And Sarah, yeah, it sounds like you were on the same page from day one. Was that the case?
I remember when he told me having a kid or kids was always super important to me. I've always wanted to be a mom, and it took some processing, but I felt like the Lord was leading me to John. We were both a little older when we met each other. And so we talked a lot about adoption, and we still knew that there was always like the Lord could work miracles and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately we decided on adoption, but there was still like something in me that wanted to be pregnant if I could.
And so when did embryo adoption come onto your radar?
Well, I actually knew about embryo adoption for a while, and I told John about it. And at first he was like, no, I don't know, I just want to adopt a kid from the United States, like domestic adoption. And then we actually met someone that had successfully done embryo adoption. And I guess that was 2022, on the 4th of July. And we talked to them, and there was still just that passion in me and desire to be able to carry baby if I could, and experience pregnancy. And John and I were like, you know what, it's not going to hurt to start looking, and the worst thing that's going to happen is if it doesn't work. And so we took a turn and paused on domestic adoption and then started looking into embryo adoption.
And this was another NEDC couple that you spoke with, right?
She had looked at the NEDC. We knew another couple that did did embryo adoption through the NEDC, though. So actually then when we were looking at different places, we started talking to different people that had done it, and we met actually quite a few people that did.
It was actually really weird because it almost was like, this is crazy how many people that we're starting to meet that have done this. And I think that's kind of where I was like, okay, well, maybe this is, you know, maybe I need to change my thinking a little bit on it from, you know, traditional adoption. So
why were you so set on traditional adoption? Do you know?
I guess that it was just in my mind of how I probably would have had kids. Just, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. When we can all be like that, or we can be slow to change our thinking. I understand that. So it's interesting. You guys, I said at the outset, you know, that you were leaning on mentors. It sounds like you were mentored by lots of people who had gone through the process, which is an interesting layer to the story that I didn't know. That only expands beyond what I knew. So tell me what that was like, how helpful it was as you were making your decisions.
Yeah, so pretty quickly we kind of shifted and like we were like, okay, we want to do embryo adoption. So then we started looking at different places that did it. And we, one of my good friends, actually, she is a good friend that did it through the NEDC. And we got connected, and it was extremely helpful to be able to talk to her. I think it's a journey in general, and then talking to someone who's also been through the infertility journey and has had a successful outcome too. And so that was so encouraging to just be able to have her. She was like, you can text me anytime. And it was just super encouraging because it's a lonely process, a lonely journey, just because it's hard and not a lot of people know that journey, especially when it comes to
people don't understand it.
Yeah.
Either. And I guess I could be in that category too, before I knew, you know?
Yeah. So, it was a lot of people just like, well, why wouldn't you want to do IVF and have your own like babies? And I'm like, because we still feel called to adoption and we want to just do it this way. And so it was really helpful to be able to talk to her and other people that had done it and like how to kind of process things and just go through and answer questions like that to other people and just walk with us on the journey. Like, not only was she super encouraging to me, but her husband was really encouraging to John, and just be able to like walk together as couples through that.
And I think this is an important point, and it's one reason that I thought it'd be good to talk with you guys. This is something that anybody who's just starting to go through the process or thinking about going through the process would probably really benefit from, is to have a mentor couple. And if you're going through the NEDC program, we're always happy. I mean, if you can find one on your own, or you know one already, that's wonderful. But if you need help finding one, we can always link you to a mentor couple. We're very happy to do that. So take advantage of that. If you end up, if you're curious about embryo adoption with the NEDC, and secondly, if you're already in the program and thinking that a mentor couple would help. I know, because I've talked to many of our families who have said, yeah, it was a big help. And clearly it was with you all. So describe then landing on the NEDC and your journey with the NEDC.
So one of the big things that kept drawing us back to the NEDC, well, we have family connections in Knoxville anyway. And we actually found out we had multiple connections to NEDC. Mm-hmm. But one of the big things was that it was a Christian organization. And to us, that was extremely important and really helped us along our journey too. And just how much life was valued. because I know a lot of places, like, it's fertility. And so embryos are not always seen as like life. And so it was really important to us that everyone got a chance. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big selling point of the NEDC to us. But I remember when we first went for our first appointment, like my mom was like, so how'd you feel? And we're like, we're sold. Like, we're ready. Like, we're going to start. She's like, you have no hesitations. I was like,
Nope, none.
Ready. We just felt such a complete sense of peace and just like our journey. Cause I mean, the first transfer didn't take.
Right.
And so that was really hard. But like the nurses reached out to us and Dr. Gordon reached out. And I think just any fertility clinic, that wouldn't be the case. And so it really, it feels more like a family than just like
absolutely
a clinic, yeah. I would say. And that was one of the biggest things that we loved about the NEDC.
And I think that's one thing that does make us different is that we see these embryos. There's been a lot of talk about this in the wake of the Alabama Supreme Court decision. Mm-hmm. You know, we see these embryos as God's tiniest image bearers. We see them as human lives. And yeah, hopefully the reason that you get that feel from us is because that's how we see everybody. That's why we're in this. It's not to, certainly not to to make money. We could do other things that would make a lot more money. but it is to get these tiniest lives out of the freezer and to help the adults, the older image bearers on each side of the equation, either those who have embryos remaining and are faced with a conundrum, or folks like yourselves who want to build or add to your family through embryo adoption. So yeah, that's what drives it. By the way, if you're listening to the podcast and you like what you hear, you're helped by it, go ahead and spread the word by sharing, rating, reviewing, subscribing, give the Embryo Adoption a 5-star review wherever you listen to it, whatever podcast platform, that will help spread the word. God's used the podcast. A lot of people have either been helped by it or helped or it found us through this podcast. So you go through the journey, you know, is there anything you want to say before we get to talking about your kids? Is there anything you want to say more about the journey? Anything you wish you would have known going in that was like a surprise to either of you during the process that you think people should know about?
I mean, I don't know if it's different from your standpoint, but I really feel like, I mean, just how attentive the nurses were. And like, I was able to email back and forth. If I had any questions, I was able to reach out. And I mean, it's a long process with shots and all that kind of stuff. So I did have a lot of questions, but that's also where having a mentor couple came in handy, because I was also able to reach out to her and be like, okay, how did you process this and deal with this? And I think just, I mean, I don't know if anything along our journey, I think it's just it's hard when it didn't work, but there's no way someone can prepare you for that. I mean, that's just part of the journey. And but other than that, I really feel like the NEDC did a really good job of like,
it was a very smooth process.
Yeah, answering questions. And I felt we felt at peace when we went for a transfer day and all that kind of stuff.
I was just along for the ride most of the time.
Yeah. Well, you might not be giving yourself enough credit, but to some degree, I guess that's true, John.
There's more moral support. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't discount that, but it is true. That's definitely the case in this journey. So take me, let's fast forward then to after your next transfer. I mean, what was going through your minds in those moments? You know, when your son Rowan and daughter Rayleigh were born, and it was just last summer. I mean, this was the sort of thing that when you were dating, you weren't sure a moment like this would ever happen. What was it like? John, I think we'll start with honestly...
Me? Oh, God.
We don't have to.
Yeah, give me a minute.
Okay, Sarah, we'll go with you first.
Okay. I think it was honestly just kind of surreal. I mean, I'd always wanted to be a mom, and truly, it came down to I don't even care how I become a mom. I just want to be one. And so, I mean, twin pregnancies are, I mean, it's no joke. It was rough. But we, I mean, felt so blessed. And just to have two healthy babies, and we were so thankful. And I just think, like, I mean, I still look at it, and I'm like, how did we get here? Like, I honestly can't believe that.
Oh, I still think
we have them.
I still think daily. Oh, I'm a dad. Like, yeah. I mean, as much as, you know, I was in the process, and, you know, you're getting to, you know daily things. It's tough on dads, because it's almost like, are we ever really ready to, like, I don't even know that I'm ready right now. Like, oh, what am I, you know, am I doing the right things? What, you know, so it was a great process, but yeah, they're two little blessings. So,
yeah. And you're right. You're never really ready. And I can say that, being the father of a 24 and 22 year old. So yeah, you just keep trying, but you'll never really be ready.
Yep.
Yeah. Because we're all learning. That's just the journey of life. We're all learning through every phase. You're never going to be a perfect parent, and that's okay. So explain the personalities of the twins and how they have changed your lives, your family's lives.
They honestly, we joke because they're twins, but they're literally nothing alike. Like, could not be more different. Polar, and we're like, opposites. Y'all were probably supposed to be single babies, and we just made you two by sticking you in there together. Yeah. But yeah.
What's funny though is I feel like he's got my personality, like very laid back, you know, go with the flow, nothing really bothers him. And on the other hand,
she has more my personality. She's a little feisty one.
She loves to tell you when she doesn't like something. So.
But it has been so fun to see their twin bond kind of come out. I mean,
it's really kind of starting now.
Yeah. They're like, when they eat, they're holding hands, and they're just more, they're interacting. And it's been really fun to kind of watch them. Because at first, I mean,
they had no idea each other was even in the room. No. I don't think.
Until like recently, and it's been so fun as they just grow and develop. And I think sometimes, like, I mean, they were premature, so it was kind of like, okay, like, are we gonna hit milestones normally? And it's just been amazing to watch them grow, and like, the Lord's just been faithful in all of this. I mean, the transfer and their delivery and them growing and being so healthy.
Another one of the things that I thought was interesting. So, like, our first transfer that we had that didn't take, those embryos were actually graded better than the two embryos that actually worked.
Were these from the same set, by the way, between the two transfers?
No. So the first transfer was a one set, and then we chose to go with a different set the next transfer.
And again, that all happened because we were the NEDC, and we were in contact with the embryologists, and we just truly trusted them. Yeah. And whatever they advised us to do, I mean, we didn't care. We just wanted babies. Like, we wanted to be parents. Well,
they, you know, y'all said that, you know, we see babies from this grade all the time, but in our mind was, well, if the better grade didn't work, how in the world are, you know, the fairer ones going to work? And guess what? It's not up to us. And, you know, grand scheme of things, it worked out exactly like it was supposed to. So.
Because I remember, like,
yeah, go ahead.
As, I'd just gone through one failed transfer. And then, just a couple months before, we didn't wait long. We jumped back in. And
one cycle.
Yeah. And so then when they told us the grades of those embryos, I was like, okay. And I remember my face just dropped. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Do you remember the grades, by the way? I mean, that's if not, that's okay. But it might be important for folks who are listening to hear.
I know. I do remember the first. I don't remember the exact grades. They were both good quality, mm-hmm. the first transfer. The second one, they were both fair quality embryos. And so I remember asking the embryologist to come back out and just explain the grades to me again after the transfer. Yeah. Because I think in my mind, I was like, I had just already been like, okay, I've gone through one failed transfer. This is going to be another one. And I was just kind of trying to process that. And John was great. And he was like, that's not how we're going to go about this. Like, we're going to trust that the Lord is going to be faithful in this. And we have no control over anything in this process. And so I think that was really hard. And then also, but again, like the mentor couples, like I immediately was talking to the couple that we were talking to, and she said the same thing happened to her and it ended in a pregnancy. And so I think just walking forward, there were a couple things. Like the first transfer, I took a pregnancy test. I don't advise doing it. I will not do it. I did not do it the second time.
Don't do it.
Because immediately my brain was like, okay, I'm not pregnant. And that's just how that went. The second time I did not, until I had blood work done and they told me I was pregnant. And that, I think, helped my mind just be like, okay, I'm pregnant until I'm told I'm not. Yeah. Not by a test. Yeah. And so
we watched them go in on ultrasound, so they're in the, like,
so I think just to like anyone listening, I mean, that was the biggest thing for me. I was like, okay, we're gonna have to do another transfer because this one's not gonna take either. And John and I were both set on, we're gonna transfer the embryos if we have them. And so anyone listening, if you hear the grades of your embryos, I've heard so many stories now that of couples that even poor quality embryos and they take. Yeah. And so, like John said, like, it's not up to us. Like, if they're meant to be your children, they're going to stick and be your children.
We said we were fine with twins and then we got twins and... I don't know that we were quite prepared for what we said we were good for.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And this is a really good point, though, because I've heard our team say several times that they've seen a lot of really ugly embryos make really beautiful babies. And that is a truth. So the two of you drawing that out in this interview, that's an important takeaway for folks. And I think we ended here. And by the way, John, I have heard that raising the twins gets easier the older they get, especially like after when they get to about that 1 year stage, they're playing with each other so much. It's like, you're not in the room, not the other twin. Yeah. So
yeah, that's what we're hoping. Keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah. I wanted to encourage you. There is some hope. It will get better if you can just survive the first few months. But how did this shape each of your faith? I think that's a good note to end it on. If you can think about that.
I mean, I think it goes back to, we have no control and we just have to trust. And I can't say that I'm like extremely religious or anything, but you know, I just have always been the type that, hey, you've got to trust. It's not up to you. And God knows what's best for us. I mean, he does, you know, and he knew that we were meant to be together. He knew that we were meant to do this process. And he knew that we were meant to have those two little babies that are screaming upstairs right now. So.
Well, I can't hear them. So that's
good.
I can't hear them. I can hear God, I think, when he talks to me, but I can't hear the kids. So you guys are.
The grandparents are taking care of it right now.
So. Sarah, anything you'd add to that?
I think just like. I think it just every step of the way. I mean, like I said earlier, it's just helped me continue to see how faithful the Lord is. And just even when you, I mean, just every step of the way, like with us coming to the NEDC and how we got there, and it just kind of, it's just showed me that he's working in the background, even when we are trying to control so many things. I'm a big control person and I'm very type A and I want things to get done this way.
Not me.
And so just having, like, I think I'm doing all this stuff. And like, I mean, it showed with the first transfer, I did everything right. And the Lord had a different plan. And so he's working in the background. And then we ended up with the biggest blessings that we could ever have imagined. And so I think it's just helped me really lean on him more and trust that he is going to be faithful. Even if sometimes that doesn't mean in the way that we thought he was going to be faithful. But he ultimately knows what's best, and it's,
he'll take care of you if you trust him.
Been evident. Yeah.
Yeah. And you'd understand why he does what he does, allows what he does, if you knew what he knows. And I think that's really, really comforting stuff. Well, yeah. John and Sarah, we're so happy for you. Congratulations again on the twins. We're glad you're part of the NEDC family. And thanks for just taking a little time out of your, I know it's extremely busy life right now to do this interview.
This is a break right now. We love it.
Now I'll give you the blessing of going back to your twins.
Right, yeah.
Nah, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Embryo Adoption Podcast. I hope you enjoyed learning more about this life-changing option for building a family. Hey, if you or someone you know could benefit from embryo adoption or donation, visit embryodonation.org to get started or just to find out more. Again, that's embryodonation.org. And don't forget to spread the word, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast app. Join me next time as we continue sharing inspirational stories of the embryo adoption journey. And until then, take care.